Well, a good Tuesday afternoon, Saskatchewan. Jamie and Locker with you as the Riders got back at it today following their delayed game loss to the Calgary Stampeders. Britton Gray will bring you all the details on the news of practice, but they did throw the pads on as Corey Mace wasn't quite impressed with the physicality they put on the field against the Calgary Stampeders on Saturday afternoon at Mosaic Stadium. But I'm pretty sure our next guest is pretty pleased with his team's performance over the weekend as the BC Lions win another one against the Edmonton Elks in quite dominating fashion as they now get ready for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, the Watermelon Smash game at BC Place in Vancouver. They'll have watermelon eating contest and all that stuff. And it looks like it's going to be a great crowd, too, for the game. Buck Pierce, the head coach of the BC Lions, joining us on the Green Zone. Buck, how is your Tuesday?
Hey, it's good. How about you guys?
Very well. Let's get started on just your start with the BC Lions as a rookie head coach. How comfortable does it feel being back in BC, kind of where it all began?
Yeah, it feels comfortable being back, where it all began here. And, it's been good, obviously, a transition period, from the time that you take the job and then, training camp and getting to know the guys and, personalities and all those type things. But it's been good. I'm enjoying a lot of, familiar things, from my time out here before and, getting to learn some new things as well.
Buck, what's the most important thing that you took from your time in Winnipeg with the Bombers and now to the Lions in BC?
Man, that's a hard question, because I was there for so long and learned, so many things. I started my coaching career there, in 2014. So, a lot of years I got to see the, transition, from when, Mike took the job in 14 to, I was there with him, the whole time. So, a lot of lessons. I think, the biggest thing is just, learning how to win, learning about your process, understanding, trying to make it the best environment, for the players and, for them to be successful and how to, sustain, winning as well. And just, creating that atmosphere, for the players and the organization of, what winning looks like and what that process is.
The head coach of the BC Lions, Buck Pierce, joining us here on the Green Zone, off to a 3-3 start. Of course, no bye week yet. That doesn't come for a few weeks.
That's odd.
Because of CFL scheduling and everything else. But what are the pros and cons to getting out this early, but in the back half of the season, you should be a little bit more rested than some other teams going into the playoffs after having to wait a little bit for your first bye week, Buck?
Yeah, I think you just try and, constantly evaluate, where you are, team-wise, health-wise, your roster, what the players need every day. There is some benefits, obviously, having some bye weeks later in the season. But I felt that we were pretty fresh coming out of training camp. We had some injuries early on. So that's one of the benefits is having some time, in the later parts of the season, to get guys back healthy. I think you just always have to look at, where you are right now, what the guys need at this time.
Buck, one of the conversations that we have regularly in the CFL or those involved in it is the intent of the attendance. And you just came from Winnipeg, known for the sellouts. And in Vancouver, now you're in BC, and you're getting similar numbers. People are showing up for the Lions this year. That must be exciting for you and the organization.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a great fan base here, and it's growing. It's becoming younger and younger as it is, and we still have a good number of season ticket holders that are at every home game and, take ferries in for the game, drive in. So it's been great. We've only had, two home games so far this season. So we're excited to get back in our own building, but the atmosphere has been excellent. And the support, that we've had, early on the season has been great.
Buck Pierce joining us, head coach of the BC Lions. I'm interested, as we were talking out of the break before you joined us, that Corey Mace threw on the pads and was not happy with the physicality in Saturday's loss to the Calgary Stampeders. You just played the Riders in a pretty physical game a couple of weeks ago in Regina. As a coach, do you turn on the film and see that too and go, ooh, okay, yeah, we can't expect to see that version of the Riders. They're going to be better than what they showed against the Calgary Stampeders this week.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we understand to, win in this league and, win consistently. Your best is required at all times, and if you don't, then your chances of winning are extremely slim, no matter who you're playing. We expect a physical game. The defense, for the Riders, very physical. Extremely, tough front. So we got to make sure that we're ready to go.
Buck, Nathan is looking like he's getting his legs underneath him. He's getting back to his old sort of self. What are you seeing in his game right now?
I think he's playing with confidence. I think he's seeing the field well. I think he's adjusting to, the new offense and how we want, certain things done and tweaked, that might be a little bit different. The reality is, the biggest hurdle is just, getting on the same page with receivers, play callers, all those type things of how I call a game compared to, other places that he's been as well and other play callers. But, I think he's now being able to, get a little more comfortable with the guys around him. And that's always positive, but, he's put a ton of work in the off season. So excited to see him doing well and, continuing to build on those things.
This is the first time you've been able to work with Nathan, of course. As a former quarterback yourself and the quarterbacks you worked with in Winnipeg, I know there's a bunch of them with, Matty Nichols and Zach Collaros. What do you see from a young Nathan Rourke in his game? Does he remind you of maybe a younger Zach too?
Yeah, he's very, inquisitive, very, curious about, learning everything, wanting to understand how I see this, how I want, certain concepts read, how we watch film together, extremely coachable, just, wanting to learn everything, wants to know the why behind everything. And also, getting more comfortable, with each other, so, he's able to say, hey, Buck, I like this, can we do this? Those type of things. And that's the relationship you want at this level is you want to be on the same page and, seeing things, the same way as the play caller.
James Butler back with the Lions, Buck, career high in yards in Edmonton on the weekend. It must be nice to see that 1-2 punch starting to really work for the Lions right now.
Yeah, absolutely. You're always looking for balance, right? And every game's not going to be like that. And that's what we try and tell our players is every week, it might look a little bit different. But as long as we get the win and as long as we're able to execute and continuing to build different tools in our toolbox, right? So if we need to run the ball 30 times, we're able to do that, right? If it's a different type of game, and we're in more drop back, we're able to do that as well. So that's what you're trying to build. You're trying to build a balance and for the guys up front, they did a fantastic job, for James and I was proud of the effort and how the group performed.
Of course, last year we talked to Corey Mace during the year, his first year as a head coach, and about like decision making and things coming at him and that learning experience, Buck. What are some of those things you just naturally have to learn on the fly as a first-year head coach that maybe you weren't expecting when you took the first head coaching job?
Yeah, there's quite a few things, right? But I think the biggest thing is every week is its own season in itself, right? As roster decisions, as injuries come up, as things do, I think that's you know, probably the biggest comparison is just being available, you know, for everybody in the building, you know, and, you know, communicating, you know, your vision and what you need and how you see things run. And that takes time, and it's a learning curve for everybody. You know, I'm not just a new guy. I'm also, you know, have guys in the building that have been here, you know, a while, and, you know, now learning the way that I see certain things. So yeah, it comes down to, you know, communication and reps, you know, just like as a player. But, you know, I have a lot of, you know, great support, coaches that I've worked with here before. So yeah, it's been fun.
Buck, we were having a quick conversation in the Green Zone Lounge about, and listen, I know you haven't got a lot of time on your hands. You're coaching a CFL team. But we were talking about the possibility of you having a podcast, by the way, and lamenting on how fantastic your name would be to play with. So we don't need to give you any of the examples that we had, but we had some fantastic ideas for a podcast.
Tell Matty Baker that if they're thinking about it, you could do What the Buck or Pass the Buck with the podcast with the BC Lions. Thoughts?
Perfect. Hey, I'm all for it.
Writes itself.
Buck, appreciate your time. I know you got practice day one tomorrow to get ready for the Riders. So thanks for taking some time on probably a lot of film day today, Buck. Thanks so much.
Hey, you guys have a great day. Enjoy it.
That is Buck Pierce.
Thanks, Buck.
Head coach of the BC Lions. They're 3-3. Of course, they're going to want some revenge on the Riders after the Riders gave it to them. But that was a Jeremiah Masoli game, not a Nathan Moore game.
They're starting to play decent ball here.
We will see how it goes on Saturday. Locker,
who are you picking?
I have to admit, the picks just got posted on CFL.ca. I just noticed they just got posted.
Okay, I'm going to go have a look.
I'm taking the Lions. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Okay, Locker, we have a quick 2 minutes to talk about this. We hinted at talking about it yesterday, and we ran out of time. The latest chapter in the Ron and Don saga has been playing out over the last few days. Ron McLean did an interview with a newspaper that's doing a whole series on Don Cherry coming out. It's out of Kingston. And Ron talked about Don. And he talked about getting pneumonia during a Stanley Cup final a couple of months before the You People comment on Hockey Night in Canada. And that after that illness, there was some sort of talk about an exit strategy. And he felt that that moment in time was just a fitting end for Don, with the plan that at some point soon he'd be calling it a quit. So he took a run at it with his Poppy comment and Poppy Gate and thought, yep, that was a fitting end to Don Cherry. And he did what he did because of the ethics side of Ron. He also talked about Don needing to go to hospital in Boston. Then Don Cherry commented, said, I did not go to the hospital in Boston. I was in my hotel room. But he did go to hospital when he returned to Canada, and by no way in you know what was Poppygate his exit strategy from Hockey Night in Canada.
What Ron was saying was, and I'm not defending him, please hang on to your texts. He was saying, I knew him for a long time, and it was the type of thing that Dom would do. Based on how many years did they spend together?
Carry the two. 30?
30 years. This is a very disappointing thing for me. I spend more time with Jamie than I do my wife.
Well, I'm taking that.
No, I don't mean that in a negative. Like, you'd think you would spend more time with your partner that you, right?
Yes.
But during daylight hours, I spend more time with Jamie. So they know each other well. And he was making a comment based on Don's personality type. That's what that was. And you know what? Ron, the mistake Ron's making here is just stop talking about Don. Because everybody is just going to take it the way they want to take it, and they're going to run with it, right? He can't say anything without it upsetting the Don. And listen, Don should be put up on a pedestal. I hope someday, and I hope it happens before he passes away, they put him in the Hockey Hall of Fame. But this whole thing about those two, and then you can't win in this conversation. You can't win.
And then Bobby Orr penned a letter saying what Ron said is
offside
on about Don Cherry. So
it's still trending today.
Another Don versus Ron debate has sparked up again, and I'm interested to read this feature the Kingston newspaper is putting together on the life of Don Cherry. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone as Britton Gray will bring you up to date on the Riders practice, some of the injury notes as they get set for the BC Lions. Well, if you were on social media last night and you went, why is Big Dumper trending? And you weren't watching the Home Run Derby, you were probably really confused.
The Big Dumper goes 108. He's got one swing to go.
Get it, Cal!
Cal Raleigh putting the Maximus in Gluteus Maximus. 15 homers. 5 of the last 7. What a round!
Yes, Cal Raleigh was the Home Run Derby champion last night. Seattle Mariners catcher, switch hitter. Had his dad, Todd, his brother, Todd, throwing and catching for him during the All-Star Home Run Derby.
It was kind of fascinating to watch because he was just as productive from the left and the right.
Yeah, it was insane.
And the reason he took the left is because when he's pulling, right, he's got shorter distance to that side of the field, so he had a better, he was playing the odds. Yeah. But for him to be that consistent on both sides, just wrap your head around that. Right, like just even, I've seen guys do this on the golf course where they'll grab a left-handed club and hit that, and then hit a right-handed club and hit it just as far. And I've never been able to wrap my head around how people can do that. Like that's a different skill. That's a different level.
My son can do that.
What? That's weirdest. Right. I told you that when we watched him play ball.
He can hit from both sides of the plate.
And he's got it, actually.
And it's natural for a six-year-old, seven-year-old. I'm like,
he's got a nice swing, too, for someone his age. Like,
I couldn't do it, ever.
No.
You'd try at a practice. I was a ball player growing up. You'd try, but...
grab a hockey stick. Take a slap shot, then go grab the other hand and try to take a slap shot.
Nope. Not working.
Yeah.
For some reason, when we play shinny, most of the in-laws are right-handed shots in hockey, and I'm a left, so I'm always playing with a backhand if I have to borrow a stick. Drives me bonkers. But anyways, Cal Raleigh Home Run Derby.
Yeah. Do you shoot right golf?
Yes.
Okay, I'm left-handed hockey, but I shoot right golf. But if you give me the other set in golf or in hockey, I'm done.
What did you think of the All-Star Home Run Derby last night? A-plus, B, what are you thinking on? Because there was a debate in the Green Zone Lounge. Some people don't like it. I've been reading social media. There are those who are like, the MLB Home Run Derby is just lost now. And I'm like, I think that was a good show. It's fast-paced, a lot going on, no downtime. It's just hitting bomb after bomb after bomb.
I liked it.
The only thing I would criticize is the lack of star power.
Because I don't know much about Cal. I know he's leading the league, and I know his name, and I know he plays for Namara. I know he's a back catcher. I didn't even know his nickname was Big Dumper, right?
Now everybody knows his nickname is Big Dumper.
But, I mean, after last night, I mean, I had no idea who O'Neill Cruz was either until last night. That kid, my goodness.
He made it to the final, of course. Your guy, Jazz Chisholm of the New York Yankees, was a bust. He only hit 3 home runs.
I apologize if you wasted some money on that.
But you look back at Home Run Derby champions. Like back in the, it was Ken Griffey Jr. It was Jose Canseco. Like you go back, Mark McGwire was winning. And recently, now we have seen Aaron Judge take part once, Vladdy Guerrero Jr.
It's Ohtani.
It's almost like they go, I'll do it one time. You got me for one time only. That's it.
I wonder what that is. Because it's almost an unwritten rule that if you win it, can you come back?
Oh, yeah. Like Pete Alonso, I think, has won twice.
But guys don't. It's changed.
Everything's changed when it comes to athletes now, hasn't it? With load management and everything else.
Well, that can't be it. There's got to be something more to it.
Out of the top 10 home run hitters in Major League Baseball, you did get three last night. Junior Caminero, James Wood, and Cal Raleigh. Those were three of the top 10 home run hitters right now. Byron Buxton also participated. He's in the top 15. Then it was a lot lower than that. Then you were starting to scroll down the home run list.
But the one thing I think, and this is just a quick sort of, it just popped into my mind. The one thing I think might be happening with this, Jamie, is you have to practice. It's not something you can just, I can skate really fast. I'm going to get into this skating. This is different. Like, you have to prepare. Like, Todd, his old man,
mm-hmm.
was pitching for him. And that was, like, they knew what they were doing. And then his little brother, 15-year-old Todd Jr., was back catching. They had a system down.
You clearly found out early that family was probably in a cage.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
100%.
Or the day before, I guess.
Talking.
Just
and
talking
so,
through it. This is where I want it. This is where it. So Todd, the catcher, the son, is yelling at the dad, lower, inside. Like,
well, and they grew up doing this, right?
Yeah.
There was a conversation with Todd after the fact, the old man, his dad, and he was like, you don't want to have a switch hitter, especially not two in the family. He's already had to have rotator cuff surgery because he was the guy throwing the ball at his kids, because Todd Jr. is also a switch hitter. So you're throwing twice as many balls because they're taking swings on both sides of the bag, mm-hmm. right?
So we're asking you, were you a fan of the Home Run Derby? I think it's the best show out of an all-star event that you can get. It is the most consistently just entertaining, watching guys hit a ball 400 to 500 feet. And several times.
Well, and you see the audience too, right? Everyone's out there trying to get a ball.
And shout out to the young man who robbed the in the final.
I'm glad they didn't give him too much heat.
Up against the fence, jumps over, takes the. Now, they did count that home run, by the way. They did include it, but you can see the other kids on the field like, what? You're not supposed to do that. What are you doing? But if you got a shot to take away a home run,
I'm doing it.
Absolutely, you're doing it. How old are those kids out there? 14, 15, it looked like?
There was a range. Yeah, I'd say there's a couple of little guys out there. There was a couple kids that looked like 10 or 11. Yeah, snagging flies.
Now, it's a shorter wall in left field, but still an impressive catch, nonetheless. 1-877-332-8255. Were you a fan of the Major League Home Run Hitting Contest last night, or... do you think, like some others, that they need to tweak it again and maybe go back to the old days?
Scotty, the producer, was commenting that it was just too busy. He didn't like the rhythm of it, thought it was too fast, and that he didn't know what to look at. And my wife actually said, we were eating dinner watching it. She goes, I don't know what to look at. There's too much going on. She was annoyed by it, but it didn't bother me. I'm not sure.
But back in the day, they took too many pitches. Like, they would, oh, no, don't like that one.
I like the fact that it was over.
And they have the maximum amount of baseballs you can throw. They're not taking as many pitches.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got to be there.
That first round's 40 balls. You get 40 pitches, and you get 3 minutes.
And one timeout. You can call a timeout. And that's what Cal did. He called a timeout, then switched sides. He went left for the first minute and a half,
right,
and then he went.
And then he finished the whole thing off on the left, yeah.
Yeah. So, and there was some controversy after round one. Cal advanced. He was tied, and the tiebreaker was the longest home run hit. And apparent, after they were done, it sounded like, I think it was Rooker was going to advance. And then, oh, no, we just got an update that Cal Raleigh's home run is a half an inch further. He will advance. And everybody went, what?
So the balls are, they're chipped, right? So you can go and you can get the distance of the ball. That's how they figured that out.
So
I was like, how do they know that?
And then after that, he just took over the home run derby. As we continue here on the Green Zone, coming up next, the world's best golfer ponders why he even plays the game sometimes. And he's getting heavily criticized for his critique on the lack of fulfillment that professional golf gives Scottie Scheffler. Next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Locker with you here on the Green Zone. The all-time I Feel Bad About Myself song of in the history of music, R.E.M.'s Everybody Hurts. Earlier today, Scottie Scheffler, the world's best golfer, was trending, and I was like, what's this about? Scottie Scheffler talks about the lack of fulfillment he feels winning golf tournaments. And I was like, what? Pardon? What's Scottie Scheffler on about?
Is it great to be able to win tournaments and to accomplish the things I have in the game of golf yet? I mean, it brings tears to my eyes just to think about, because it's literally worked my entire life to become good at this sport, and to have that kind of sense of accomplishment, I think is a pretty cool feeling. You know, to get to live out your dreams is very special. But at the end of the day, it's like, I'm not out here to inspire the next generation of golfers. I'm not here to inspire somebody else to be the best player in the world, because what's the point? You know, this is not a fulfilling life. It's fulfilling from the sense of accomplishment, but it's not fulfilling from a sense of like the deepest, you know, places of your heart. You know, there's a lot of people that make it to what they thought was going to fulfill them in life, and then you get there and all of a sudden you get to number one in the world, and then they're like, what's the point?
What's the—
that made me angry, actually. I'll be honest.
What's the point? I was like, so this was a longer rant.
You know, what is the point? You're like, why do I want to win this tournament so bad? That's something that I wrestle with on a daily basis. It's like showing up at the Masters every year. It's like, why do I want to win this golf tournament so badly? Why do I want to win the Open Championship so badly? I don't know. Because if I win, it's going to be awesome for about 2 minutes. And then we're going to get to the next week, and it's going to be like, hey, you won two majors this year. How important is it for you to win the FedEx Cup playoffs? And it's just like, we're back here again, you know? So we really do. We work so hard for such little moments. And, you know, I'm kind of a sicko. I love putting in the work. I love being able to practice. I love getting out to live out my dreams. But at the end of the day, sometimes I just don't understand the point, you know, because I don't know if I'm making any sense or not, but
no, you're not.
Am I not?
No.
It's just one of those deals, you know. I love the challenge. I love being able to play this game for a living. It's one of the greatest joys of my life. But does it fill the deepest, you know, wants and desires of my heart? Absolutely not.
That whole thing when he stops himself, like, am I making any? You can hear the people in the room chuckling and uncomfortable, going, "Is he okay? Is Scottie okay?" Now, he did explain further. His fulfillment is fatherhood and being a good husband. Like, that's what fills his heart. But a lot of, like,
is he the most unlikable professional athlete?
No, not even close.
He's on my list.
Not a chance.
If I'm putting together a top five, he's up there.
Really?
Yeah.
No, he's nowhere near my top five. There are a lot more annoying athletes than Scottie Scheffler.
The Tony Robbins of golf. Good Lord.
I think Rory's starting to pass Scottie Scheffler on the annoying athletes list now.
Rory's going through stuff, right? And I don't know why I have more time for Rory struggling. I think stuff's happening outside of the game for Rory, and it's impacting his profession. That I can wrap my head around. This I can't. Like, somebody pull, like, sponsorships. Like, I would get away from him. Like, who's he sponsored by? Like, walk away from
probably
him.
Nike. But on his this next quote is where he really lost me. on almost to the point of don't even try to be a good golfer.
I'm blessed to be able to come out here and play golf, but if my golf ever started affecting my home life or it ever affected the relationship I
have. Oh, sorry. That's the wrong clip. This is the clip.
What I'm trying to say is this is not the place to look for your satisfaction. This is something that's where you can have a great appreciation for and a great great amount of thankfulness for being able to do this. And it's literally one of the most fun things that I can do in my entire life. I love being able to come out here and play golf and compete. But at the end of the day, it's just not what satisfies me.
Oh my goodness.
The best follow-up question I've ever heard in my life was after this rant. Because the question was what is it like to win at golf and be successful? Because Rory kind of went through a diatribe yesterday about it. And he goes, that was 4 minutes. And a reporter finally just goes, if that's what winning's like, what's losing like for you?
It sucks. I hate it. I really do. You know, that is. And I think that's why we try to work so hard to not lose. But golf's a game where you just lose a lot more often than you win.
So we'll see if Scottie Scheffler wins or if he really cares if he wins anymore. It's the Open Championship this week at Royal Portrush.
What are you doing? Just go away then. Just go away.
Telling all your fans that, hey, thanks for cheering for me.
Yeah, I'm not here to actually inspire anybody either. Like, then what?
But this game kind of sucks. So I'm glad I'm good at it and making millions, though.